that today is a new day, and we are all here that we may receive from the Lord a new thing. Because 2006 Obana happened, yesterday happened, and even this morning happened. But this evening is a new day for us. Amen. Okay, so many of you in this room have been called out, and you believe that you are leaders in your own right. And with my speaking this evening, I'll try as well as to tell you part of my testimony, how God has brought me this far. And when we look at redemption, we have to be reminded, and I mean it seriously, we have to be reminded that it is by the grace of the Lord. I don't know about you, but when I look at my life, when I look at the situations that have happened in my life, when I look at even the things that I caused on my own, and yet the Lord has been gracious on me. I don't know, maybe I'm the only one in this room. Just look back at your life. You have a reason to praise Him. You will have a reason to say, Lord, I surrender all my life unto you. That, Lord, I am desperate for you. Lord, I cannot do it on my own. And so this evening, I mean, time cannot qualify the things that the Lord has already been doing in your life. Time cannot qualify the things that He's yet to do, because He says, I am who I am, and no one can question me. Redemption comes from Jehovah Himself. So this evening, as we look at us who have been called out to call out, I want to do a very simple thing this evening. Why don't we all just stand up this evening? And I want you to call out your name. Okay? When I say 1, 2, 3, I want you to call out your name. 1, 2, 3. Lovely. How did you feel? There's just a certain pride that comes with your name, isn't it? I don't know about you. When I hear my name being called, even if I was standing a little bit sluggish, suddenly I become aloof. There is something powerful about the name. But you know what? We also want to call out those names of those people that we are believing God for. Because we know that we are come here not only to be empowered on our own, but so that we can empower others. Hence the reason we are here, because we have been called out so that we can call out others. I want you to begin after 1, 2, 3 to call out those names in your families, those names in your campuses, those names in your friends that you are believing God for. 1, 2, 3. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. We bless you. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you the adoration, because you are Jehovah. We thank you, Jehovah God, that there is nothing impossible with you. We thank you, Jehovah, that you are a God that is able. We thank you, Jehovah, that all things are possible with you. We worship you, Father. Have your way in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now we want to call out the very things that we feel that God has laid in our lives. There are things that you know you have wrestled with. There are things that people have spoken, those that are positive. There are things that you believe that this is what you are meant to be. These are the things that you feel, Lord, I cannot be complete. I'll tell you one thing. When I was in Zambia, and in 1997, when women were not allowed to do an HIV test, I was desperate, because there was a certain energy that was sending me to know my own HIV status. And when I tested in Zambia in 1997, I was found that I had the virus. I was told I'll live for 6 months. But in those 6 months, I felt a burden. And some of you have heard this, where you're almost pregnant. And I knew that, Lord, before I die, I want to be a voice for those who cannot speak for themselves. I didn't have a passport. I didn't even know where the U.S. was located. But who knew that the Lord, as we speak today, have been almost all over the world? Who knew that the Lord will open up doors even to your own president and many other presidents? The Lord is faithful. So I want us to call out those very things that we are believing God for. The very things that people have seen in your life. When people used to say, Princess, I think you have so much influence on your life. Or what I thought was, I'm going to speak to the manager in my community. Little did I know that the Lord had bigger plans than they could ever imagine. So 1, 2, 3 again, we are going to believe God for those places that we feel being called to. And some of us were challenged yesterday in the evening. Those places that we want to even get the passport for. Those places we believe are Ninevehs in this place. In Jesus' name. Amen. So 1, 2, 3. Call out those places and those visions, those goals in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. We bless you that as your children call out those places, as your children believe what you have told them, that Father, we know that the enemy comes to steal, to kill and destroy. But we pray in the name of Jesus that you alone that is able, you alone that knew your children before they were born, you set them apart, you knew them in their mother's womb. We thank you for today. We thank you for tonight. We thank you for your word. Have your way in this place. In Jesus' name. We love you, Lord. We bless you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I want to thank all the leaders of Atlanta 208 for even humbly considering me to be one of your speakers this evening. But this night I come here by default in some ways because one of the speakers couldn't commit for today. I was supposed to have spoken on the 27th, I think. And without me looking at my calendar, I just said, for sure, because this is how much I love your leaders. And I realized, oops, I'll be missing my day in the New Year's. But it was already done. But as I continue to think about it, I continue to think, why would the Lord have me in an area like this one? It came to remind me that somehow it takes me back exactly where I started from. Just being in the hotel at this place, or should I say, is it a hotel or homes? What's this place called? Retreat Center. It reminds me back home. You know, in a place where I started, where I had this longing, this thirstiness, the Lord, I want to do everything you have called me to do before I die, Lord. And I believe that, Lord, I shall not die before I'm dead. But I want to do everything that you have called me to do. And so, without even understanding, I realized that it was by God's ordain that I will be here tonight with all of you. And I believe that each one of you who are here tonight, you could have been in so many different places. But for such a time as this, you are here. So may the Lord have his word as we just continue to encourage one another. But I think on the other side, they knew that by today, you would have already been motivated. You would have already been energized, equipped, challenged. You are already drunk. So everything I'll say goes, okay? So that was part of the reason, I believe. That's why they had me on the last day, you know. So they gave you all the best in the beginning so that when I come at the end, you are yes because you are ready to go out, okay? All right. So anyways, I was challenged to speak about redemption, a subject that I have loved in my life. The reason being that my life, I don't know if it can ever be complete without the Lord. And I don't know about you, because when I look at just my life, I mean, I love to read the Bible, and it ministers to me. But there's something that happens when I just look at my life, from the time I can remember, that is, and see how God has been gracious with me. How God has been merciful with me. How God has been compassionate with me. And each one of us in this room, there is a story that we can tell about God's grace and compassion. It is for this reason that us who claim to be redeemed, because yes, we have repented, we have been reconciled, and now we are what? we have been redeemed, and of course redeemed and being restored almost go hand in hand. But then we begin to ask, Lord, how will you have us impact the world? Because there is no way out, my brothers and sisters, that when we are redeemed, we could remain the same. You have to ask yourself a question. If I am redeemed, how can I remain the same? How can I remain the same? I believe that when God redeems us, there is a reason. Even as we have been studying the book of Jonah, there is a reason why Jonah found himself in the belly of the whale. Sometimes when life is all okay, it becomes difficult for the Lord to speak to us. And in the midst of that desert, in the midst of that valley, in the midst of the belly, somehow things begin to happen. I pray that one of the things that will be very evident as we leave this place, as we enter 2009, that we'll be people of prayer. Amen. We'll be with people of prayer, because sooner or later, when Jonah realized what was happening, he realized he had nowhere else to run to, but begin to run to the Father who's God, our Creator. There he was in the belly of the well. He begins to worship the Lord. My brothers and sisters, there's nothing more valuable. There is nothing more precious than when we are tested in this world, because Jesus didn't promise us that we would not be tested. We were not promised that there would be no valleys. But when we can withstand, character is built. There is a certain radiance that comes because you have withstand the pressure. In that pressure, the Lord is preparing you. I think maybe you have heard this saying before where they say, according to your calling, hence the higher the centigrade or the Fahrenheit of what you're going to go through. It is very easy to misunderstand that when challenges happen in my life, I'm in a wrong area. But sometimes the Lord comes so that I may be prepared. There are things that need to be purified out of me. What happens to Jonah when he was in the ship? The storm came and he was busy sleeping. The question comes then, was the storm to destroy Jonah? Are the storms in our lives come to destroy us? My brothers and sisters, when challenges come your way, we need to know that they are there so that you and I can be perfected. You and I can grow from one level to another level. The storms didn't come so that Jonah may be abandoned or Jonah may be forgotten. But it came so that even the people who are on the ship, they may know that he saved a true living God. When challenges come our way in our own households, in our own families, in our own friends, in our neighborhoods, where do we run to? Are we encouraged to walk that those that are redeemed? Are we encouraged to say, God is in control? Or suddenly, our language is as if we also are not part of the people who are redeemed? In this generation, my brothers and sisters, if there is something that I've witnessed, especially for the years that I've been coming to this beautiful country of the United States, there is an awakening among young people. There is this, they are hungry for the word of God. They are thirsty. But guess what? We need to have substance food to feed them. And how are we going to have that substance if only our walk is temporal? If only our walk is when things are okay? We cannot continue. There is no sustainability. My brothers and sisters, prayer becomes not just full of words, but it comes a time when you can go even before the Lord, when you cannot even utter a word, lamenting before the Lord, groaning before the Lord, when words cannot express your feelings. I think I have been so busy speaking sometimes that I cannot hear the Lord. I think we are shouting so much that we cannot hear Him. And the center of having that influence that comes with the redemption is to be able to say, "Here I am, Lord." I say, "Be still and know that I am God." I pray that as we go in 2009, it will be a year, even as we continue tonight, where I will say, "I am here listening to your voice." Because there are so many voices that speak out there. My own voice is competing with the Lord's voice. Other voices are competing with the Lord's voice. But we need to be deliberate, my brothers and sisters, so that when we walk, the glory of the Lord can be detected. When you look at Jonah chapter 4, after the Lord had saved Nineveh, Jonah sits outside of the city, of course annoyed. "Lord, I knew you would do this. I knew you are a God who is gracious, compassionate, and your love abounds. This is the reason why I never wanted to come. This is the reason why I never wanted to come anyways." Well, suddenly, here he is in a shade, and the Lord sends a what? A vine. And it protects him. And he feels nice about it. He loves it. "Oh, yes, it can go on. I love this vine." Well, because God is God, he sends a worm. And the worm destroys that comfort zone. And suddenly, Jonah's head is burning with this scorching sun. What is the problem there? And he has really the guts to even speak to the Lord. "Of course, Lord. I have the reason to be annoyed." But you know what? It is very important, if we are going to live as people who are set apart, the one that we can reckon with Jeremiah, who says, the Lord says, "I knew you before you were born. In your mother's womb. Before you were even formed, I set you apart." We need to differentiate the difference between the creation and the creator himself. There is a challenge. There is a battle between you and me. There is a battle in the world that we live in today. That very easy to love the things that the Creator created than the Creator himself. If we are going to be people who can change our cities, as we saw that even the king came to his senses, "Let everyone repent in this place." A city that was destined for destruction. A generation that is destined for destruction. If we are to be the people that are sent to redeem this group, we need to reshift our focus. We need to reshift our focus. Yes, we may laugh about the vine with Jonah, but there is a vine in your life. There is a vine in my life that suddenly I have forgotten what God did from the belly of the whale. I have become so comfortable in this shed that I have forgotten. What is that vine in our lives? Because just being here would not take care of everything. You are here to be equipped, to be challenged, and so that you can go out there. But to each one of us, there is that vine that we need to recognize. That yes, we have been blessed with those things, but it's not that we may lose focus on the Creator Himself because of the creations that He has created. Jonah said, "You are full of compassion." You'd think that would be a good thing. Isn't it? You would think that is a good thing. But here is Jonah annoyed because the Lord is full of compassion. But as I was starting for tonight, I realized that the very things that Jonah was concerned about the Lord being are the very things that the Lord wants from you and I. If we have to be true believers, my brothers and sisters, we need to be broken by the things that break the heart of the Lord. And I know that this has become almost like a punchline. Everyone's like, we have to be broken by the things that breaks the heart of the Lord. But it is saddening that when we talk of people living with HIV and AIDS, of which I present in a lot of ways, the last place to come to reckon with them was the church. Today, in our African American communities, in the black communities, HIV and AIDS continue to rank highest. Are we being moved with compassion? Or are we saying that is their problem and not our problem? Yesterday when we had a workshop, I said, it is very critical that we begin to interchange the word they or theirs with ours. Because something happens when you personalize something. It becomes personal, my brothers and sisters. When people are going to destruction, if these are people we love dearly, if we remember that had it not been for the grace of the Lord, I would not be in the position that I am. It will call me to respond with compassion. What is compassion? It's to almost feel the pain of one. To come alongside. To suffer with. Do we feel the pain of our friend who is struggling in school? Or they become more of a laughingstock? Do we feel the pain of those who cannot make it anymore? Or it is very easy to only associate with ourselves with only those who are successful? I think in one of the scriptures, Christ said, what good does it do if you have a part and you throw it to all your friends and all those you know? What good does it do to you? We cannot afford as believers to continue to operate in our comfortable zone, within the walls, but yet to go out there in places which will be uncomfortable. And you have heard that over and over. What is the area that the Lord will have you go? I remember one time I had a privilege to go to Romania. I said, like, what am I going to do in Romania? I'm in poverty all over in my country, in Africa. Romania, that's close to Europe. Why would the Lord have me go to Europe? And funny enough, my passport got lost. And so as I went to the police station to go and get my passport, then the men were, don't you know it's dangerous to go to Romania? Why would you want to go there? But as I arrived in Bucharest, the Lord began to show me things that I know I needed to see. Immediately, I, one who thought poverty only belongs to people who look like me, I realize poverty belongs everywhere. It is critical. Maybe it may not be physical problems. Maybe it not be materially, but spiritually people are hungry. People are desperate. And they are looking for true redemptive people. Will you and I be that one that people can count on? Will you and I be that one? Because in this story, God is trying to show us that I am a God who have no respect of persons. I am a God who is able to forgive. Don't you remember your own stuff? You know, being a mother, I'm caught. Like, sometimes my children behave in a way that I almost behave. Almost, I said. And I want to lash out with all this blasting, and suddenly I'm reminded that is a twin of what I used to do. Sometimes it makes me quiet. Not always. But the Lord is trying to teach something here, even with this story. He's trying to show that I am a God who's full of compassion. Where will you be if it had not been for me? Yourself. Very easy to forget. Very easy to look at the things of others and not look at my own situation. Those children on the streets, or those gangsters, or those children who sniff glue, for example, in Zambia, and all those street kids. But the Lord is saying, I care, Jonah, more than you. I care about this vine that you're concerned about. I care about these people. Do you know how many people will be reached because of you? You'll be multiplied in this place in thousands if we be faithful. What is the other thing that Jonah says? You're full of what? Full of love. Full, is that a problem to be full of love? Who doesn't want to be loved in this room? Raise your hand. You really don't want to be loved. You're saying love for me is out of bounds. Huh? I'm sure you'd have wanted me to say who want to be loved, but I would reserve that. But it is critical that the very simple words, L-O-V-E, is the essence of who we are as Christians. Without it, we are nothing, my brothers and sisters. And the world is tired because we have preached what we have not walked many times. We cannot go on. We cannot continue. It's time to rethink. If we are those people that have been called out to call out others, they will sense it. They will feel it. They will know that your love is genuine. Can we be like God Himself? Not because in our own power. We cannot do it. But through Christ who strengthened us. Through Christ who strengthened us, we can do it. You know, one of the scriptures has encouraged me from time to time is the story of Paul. When he said he has this vision and then the thorn was put in his body. And he said he prayed 3 times unto the Lord, and he was never healed. But suddenly, he kind of reshifted and said, you know what? Even in weakness, I am made strong. Even hopeless situations, when we know the Lord, when we love the Lord, when we are full of love and compassion, hopeless situations look hopeful. When I used to do a radio program, people would call in and say, you are sending a wrong message. Because here you are warning us about this incurable disease, but you are always joyful. What is the problem? You are miscommunicating. Little did they know that there is a difference between happiness and joy. Because I'll be happy when things are okay in my life. I'll be happy because everything I wanted is given to me. But my brothers and sisters, when I have joy because of a deliberate decision that I have made, it makes situations that are difficult to look as if they're walkable. It makes a situation that is heavy to become lighter. Because it says, come to me, each one of you who has heavy burdens, and I shall give you rest. Yes. Do you remember the man who was at the pool for almost 38 years? Yes. He was afflicted. Yes. And here Christ comes and tell him, get your mat, walk. Yes. You are made whole, should I say. What was the first reaction of the Pharisees? Who told you to do what? Huh? Who told you to pick up your mat? Lord have mercy. How could you talk to this person who has been in challenges for 38 years, always waiting for someone to put him in the pool, and there was no one to put him in the pool, and suddenly Jesus Christ comes because he is the Redeemer. He redeems this man. He is made whole. And you say, who told you to pick up your mat? Lovely, isn't it? But you know, sometimes in our own ways, we do those things. Here we are believing God that we have been called out to call out. Here we are. We believe that we have repented. We have reconciled with one another, with the Lord. We have been restored. We have been redeemed. And we go out. The very things that we see in other people, we'll be the first one to criticize. Oh, maybe it's not a true repentance, I think. So do we want the problem to exist? Is our cry genuine? So Jonah went and the place repented, and here he was annoyed. You'd think he'll be partying. Thank you, Jesus. I should have come earlier. Oh, I thank you for your power that even the king has repented. That is the power that we long for. So when we speak, kings can hear. Instead, he went in the other direction. What story comes to your mind? If you think about Jonah's story, what story comes to your mind? The story of the prodigal son. Here are the two sons in Luke. One says, I want my inheritance. And of course, while he wants that inheritance, he wants to take it so that he can squander it. He squanders it, and suddenly there's a famine in the country where he is. There's nothing for him to eat at all. That he's even forced to eat with the pigs. And he comes to his senses. There's this repentance that begins to take place. wait a minute, my father, who has so many workers, many of them have spare food. I'll go back to my father and tell him, I'm not even worthy to be called your son, so that he can receive me back. I can be one of his workers. And what does the story tell us? The father saw him from a distance. He was filled with compassion. My brothers and sisters, if we are to live a life that will leave a legacy, if we'll be known as a people who once walked and made a mark in this world, not because of our own power, but by the grace of the Lord, we have to be full of compassion. The father said, welcome, my son. You are as good as dead, but now you are alive. You have been redeemed. Come, take off all these rags he has on him. Let him have the finest robes, the best sandals. Find the fattest cow or calf. Bring it, kill it. So what would you think about the brother? That when he comes, ask the servant what is going on. He'll be what? Excited? Because the brother is back. Suddenly, he's filled with anger. Daddy, how could you do this? When I've worked for all the years, you have never even given me a goat. And the father continues to explain, everything I have, you owe. But your brother was as good as dead. It is critical for us as believers, for us as leaders who have been called out to call out others, that the fact we have been called, it is not for us to settle. It is for us to go out there, to find those that who are still lost, to find those that are dead in that situation, to get to our knees, and even one so comes to the Lord, we'll be rejoiceful. Yeah. We'll be full of joy, and not the opposite. In the story of Jonah, or in the story of the prodigal son. I don't know what the Lord has ministered to you today, but as we come to a closing, the Lord is calling us. He wants to use us to continue to doing what you, many of you, are already doing. That even the sunshine that came to scorch Jonah wasn't to kill him, but to purify him, to refine him. Even the things that you have gone through in your life was that when you share your testimony, people can come to the Lord. Even some of the challenges in your own family, the people may come to the Lord. So I thought I'd pray with you tonight, if that's okay. Will you come? We have a few minutes before we transition. If you feel like, Lord, here I am. I want to be very impactful in my own life. I want to my past and my present to represent you as we go in 2009. Come, please. And all the staff, I think they said they will be at the back. But so you just come in front very quickly, and then the staff can stand in the back. We won't take time because I think we are almost going in our last minutes.